You can grab your seat. Thank you, worship team. Just before we get into this morning's message, let me just take a moment to give you a few necessary little announcements. One is that we've tried to sort of do worship with the kids in the middle hall. That hasn't worked, partly because of the nature of that hall. It's a bit of a thoroughfare, and there are people who love coming to church but don't like to be sat like sardines in the main hall and actually prefer being in the outer area so they can, you know, have a bit of dialogue maybe and listen in. And so as a result, we're still going to check your kids in, but you'll need to look after your kids during the worship. And then when the time comes for the kids to go, whenever that is called, they're already checked in. You can just send them out. You don't have to go out and sign them in. It's pretty safe as they walk through there. The teachers will be ready to pick them up. We tried. We'll try something else. We'll look at something else. We're thinking we may do worship with the kids out the back, but we'll see how we go. But this is in the interim. Is that all cool? Brilliant. The second thing I want to say is it really is great to have Mel as part of our team. She's working one day as the communications coordinator. She's a gun, and we're so happy to finally, hopefully, be able to communicate with you better. And one of the first things she's going to be doing in her role is that we're going to be rebranding and renaming West City. So we've got some names here that we're thinking of, and I'll throw them out. We've got Holy Community Community Church. I particularly like this one, Sacred Bleeding Heart of Jesus, Our Savior Church. Dangerland Community Church. Breaking Bad Church. And you may know our mission and our heart is to be more like Jesus. That's kind of our tagline. That's our desire. That's our discipleship is around that. But we're thinking we'll change that to, we'll greet you with a holy kiss. Or maybe even, hell no. No, it's April Fool's, obviously, today. None of that was true. Mel hasn't been employed. No, that bit's true. But the rest. I thought a great way to start off Easter Sunday, this Sunday, is to talk about Kill Bill. This is a movie about an assassin called Beatrix. Some of you are looking at me going, the Holy Spirit has definitely left. Don't worry, it's going to be good. Hang in there. An assassin called Beatrix who has a jealous ex-boyfriend called Bill. And on her wedding rehearsal to another guy, she's pregnant, and some of them, her friends are there. Bill, her jealous ex-boyfriend, comes and kills everyone and tries to kill her. So much so she's in a coma for a couple of years. I think she won't recover. And for some sentimental reason, Bill doesn't finish her off. He just puts her in this horrific care facility and she's in the coma. And the movie starts off with her coming out of that coma after a couple of years and the grief of realizing that she's lost the baby and that everyone she loved, her fiance, her family, her friends, her baby is gone. And then she begins her journey of revenge. And somehow it feels quite good to watch it unfold. You see, Kill Bill is a story of revenge. And I say that today because we're here celebrating Easter Resurrection Sunday. And I want to say that Easter Resurrection Sunday could so easily be a story of revenge. Think about this. The Son of God who has labored and worked with us since the moment we turned our back and said we were going to organize ourselves around ourselves. And violence and lust and hatred and greed. The God who walked with us, who spoke to Abraham, who began to work with God's people, the Israelites, who said, out of you will come a Messiah. This God who appears in Jesus, who teaches us the way of the kingdom, who teaches us the love of God that is so radical it even includes enemies, what do? We kill him. Everyone said, amen or ouch. It's one of the two. We kill him. I mean, think about that. Think about if you were God and you pour yourself out for those you love and then they turn around and say, crucify him, and they kill him. Now, I say we kill him because Peter, when he's talking to the Jews in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, he says this. He says, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. So God was up to something. We know that. Peter says that to them. But he says this, and you, now not all of those were there around the cross that day when Jesus died, but he's including them. He's saying, you, along with the help of wicked men, and on Friday I finished with this verse, along with the help of wicked men, so you know when politics and religion get into bed together, often what comes out of that is horrific and horrible. And so there was the power base and there was the religious people of the day, and they were threatened by Jesus, and they, I guess you could say they were the wicked men, but often we get caught up, don't we? We don't want our way of life to be ruined. And when we see things happening in a different way, it's so easy to go with the crowd. And so Peter's giving it to them and he's saying, you nailed him to the cross. So get this, this is the creator. This is the one who says, I'm here to save you. And then you see part B, which is today, God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. You know, we say on Resurrection Sunday, don't we? We say, he is risen. And everyone else says? Yes. You're sounding brilliant. But imagine if it was a story of revenge. It would be like, he is risen. Run, you know? Because I think God was well within his rights to be really ticked off with us. But we see the message of Jesus, of God's love, exhibited in the way of Jesus, of the cross, self-giving love, and in the resurrection, it shouldn't surprise us that we see the love of God, as we sung today, pursuing us despite us. That should make us fall on our knees in awe. That's why I started with Kill Bill, because if I was God, revenge is on the table. But instead, we see a different picture. That should blow your mind. Wow. God, how can you love us? Even in spite of this. And on this day, it's always good to read a passage. And I want to read a resurrection passage. And I want to just tease out, if I can, for a few minutes, this amazing love of God that pursues us. If you're here today and you wonder whether God loves you, as we read this passage, whether you wonder whether, you know, is he really wanting to be involved in my life with us? I hope today you hear and sense the love of Jesus. The resurrection, what is it all about? Well, it's about the death can't hold Jesus anymore, because he's bigger than death. And because death can't hold Jesus, death can't hold those who love him. Death can take you, but it can't hold you. What is the resurrection about? It's about that Jesus is risen, a new world has begun. You know, disciples started to picture it together and piece it together. They realized that Jesus, when he rode in on a donkey, didn't ride in on a war horse, didn't come with the usual might and power of the usual emperors come in. He subverted that and rode in on a donkey, and everyone shouted, Hosanna. And then the disciples said to him, when you come into your kingdom, can I sit on your left and right? And Jesus said, you don't even know what you're asking, because Jesus' coronation was on the cross, and on the left and his right were thieves. And they were like, can we be on the left and right? And Jesus saying, can you drink the cup I'm about to drink? And they're like, yeah! They couldn't. because they thought his coronation was going to be like all other coronations, the conquering victor, and instead he was coronated as king on a cross, dying for us, taking upon us the sins of the world. We violently sin, our sin into him. And resurrection is death can't hold him back. That sin is broken and the power of sin. And so even though we may die, sin takes us, it can't hold us because it couldn't hold Jesus. And in next week, we're going to be looking at how to live in resurrection life. We're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount, how to live as God's people, how to live like death can't hold us back. I'm so glad it's not a story of revenge. But let's have a look at this, one of the accounts of Resurrection Sunday. And we can read it on the screens. It's titled, Jesus Has Risen. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, who will roll a stone away from the entrance of the tomb? It's huge. I love it that the first people at Jesus' tomb are the girls. Good on you, girls. What were the disciples doing? Who knows? What were the other boys doing? Hiding, probably. Definitely dejected, disheartened and downtrodden. But it says, when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe on the right side, and they were alarmed. I imagine he had white chinos, white shirt, I don't know, but he was dressed in white. And he obviously wasn't like one of those archangel, oh! You know, it was kind of more subdued, like a young man, kind of a messenger. But this is what he said. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where you laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Hey, he's risen. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. And when I read this, it really stuck to me and stuck in me. Why did the angel say, go and tell the disciples and Peter? Like, Peter was a disciple. They knew that. I mean, he could have just as easily said, go and tell the disciples. And they would have figured, hey, Peter's one of those. We need to tell him. Why did the angel say, go and tell the disciples and Peter? Well, we know Peter was adamant that he was going to stand with Jesus to the very end. We see pre-Jesus hanging on the cross, Peter even says to Jesus, and I don't believe he was boasting. Peter often shouted things out. He shouted, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as John said, you know, the other week, he said, Jesus said, well done, Peter. And then he, at the same time, began to take Jesus aside and tell him he couldn't die and suffer. And Jesus had to say to him, because, you know, Peter just shouted stuff out. And Jesus loved Peter, and Peter said to him before he died, he said, you know what, I will never, have you ever done this? I will never forsake you, Jesus. I'm feeling so strong at the moment. Me and Jesus, we're pumping. I don't think I could ever, you know, lose my faith. Anyone ever done that? Like, no one. Okay, good. Me and Suzanne. And Jesus said to him, Peter, you're going to deny me. Before this night's out, you're going to deny me three times. Now we know in the garden when Judas came, he tried to make Jesus show who he really was by bringing those temple guards and others, and he said, "I'm going to show who is the Messiah with a kiss? And Peter responded the way Judas wanted Jesus to respond, with violence. Peter chopped off the guy's, he went to hit him on the head, I'm pretty sure, and he took his ear off. And then Jesus sticks it back on and he says, no, this is not what my kingdom's about. This is not how I'm going to win this victory. And he's taken. And over the night, Peter denies Jesus three times. The young girl says to him, are you one of the disciples? And he goes, no. By the end of it, he's cursing and calling down oaths that he doesn't know Jesus. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. And in the final time he curses, the cock crows, the rooster crows, and just as Jesus said he was, and he walks away broken. He has betrayed the Messiah. The very thing he said he wouldn't do, he's found that he's done. It says he wept bitterly and went away. This is post Jesus' death. This is at the resurrection. Imagine how he would feel. Now, sometimes it's hard for me to imagine that sense of letting down someone. But just recently, we've all been aware of the, you know, the Australian cricket team and what's gone on there with the ball tampering. And whatever your view on that, I'm going to show you just a little clip from Steve Smith's press conference. Now, I'm not showing this because I'm like, anything other than Steve Smith's a bad guy or anything like that. No, I want you to see the grief he's under, that he has betrayed the game he loves. This is the game he loves. And I want you to think, as you're watching him, think about Peter, who betrayed the Messiah, the one who sowed into him, the one he loved. Think about the grief he would feel. Let's just watch it.
Gutted. I hope in time I can earn back respect and forgiveness. I've been so privileged and honoured to represent my country and captain the Australian cricket team. Cricket is the greatest game in the world. It's been my life, and I hope it can be again. I'm sorry and I'm absolutely devastated.
I've got three sons of my own who are sleeping.
Do you just get a little glimpse? And, you know, my heart goes out to Steve Smith. My friend Tim knows him. He says he's a good bloke. And I wish him all the best. But he's a broken man as he carries the weight of what he did. Now think about Peter. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Does God love us? Well, the resurrection shows he didn't come back for revenge. He came back to continue that relationship of love with us. Does God love some people more than others? Yes, I think so. Huh. I think he loves some people more than others when they need it most. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. So we have to read. So they would have. They would have gone back and said, Peter, Peter, he's risen. And I'm sure Peter wasn't quite sure about God, how him and God were tracking. Like these guys, maybe are not sure what the Australian public think of them. They probably know what their wife and family and close friends think of them. Their wife, family and friends would be saying, we love you. This is not you. This is not going to define you. You're going to come through this. But I would imagine Peter wasn't sure what God thought of him. Hey, Peter, Jesus is risen. He wanted you to know he's risen. And here we have the encounter with Jesus. Let me read it to you. It's found in John 21, 1 to 17. If you can't read the 0.6 font on this screen, we deliberately do that because it's actually from the Book of Mormon we're quoting right now. No, only joking. Anywho, come back, Holy Spirit. John 2, 1 to 17. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. It sucks if you're the two other disciples, right? Can you imagine if they were narcissistic and they like really like getting their name and like having photos with Jesus? And it just says there was all these people. Here's their first and last names and where they're from. And there was two others. I just think the Bible's awesome. Anyway, Peter says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. This was the job they did before they became disciples. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them. These are fishermen. Friends, have you caught any fish? He knows, right? He's Jesus. He knows they haven't. What's he doing here? I reckon he's having a laugh. Have you caught any fish? I could see him just turning around, you know, his shoulders shaking. And like, who asked me? Who's that? They said, no, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul their net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, I love that as well. I'm here telling you a message that I think God loved Peter because Peter needs to hear his love. But John, who wrote this, goes, I'm the disciple Jesus loved. I love it that we can all feel loved by Jesus. But the disciple that Jesus really loved, because I'm writing this. No, I don't know why. But anyway, said, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he put on his cloak. Usually you take it off and dive in. But he put on his outer garment, he was probably naked, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. He'd already started cooking some fish. Jesus said to them, bring some of this fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Just a side note, I often think to myself, who is the person who counted the fish? Right? There's Jesus there, right? And there's one of those, probably the one who wasn't named. He was off going, blimey neck, guys. Where's Jesus gone? He's ascended. You missed it, you duffer. But it was 153. I don't know. But anyway, talk about priorities. Like, who cares? But there was 153. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Hey, you, no name disciple, come have breakfast. Stop counting. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Three times Peter denied Jesus. Three times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Peter was hurt because he asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. The message of Easter Sunday isn't a message of revenge, but a message of hope and love. Does God love some people more than others? Yeah, I think so, when they need it most. Maybe you need to hear this message today. Go and tell the disciples and Corey that I've risen. Go and tell the disciples and Monique that I've risen. Go and tell the disciples and Rod that I've risen, because sometimes when we celebrate Easter Sunday, we can maybe sit here and say, Jesus is risen and he loves the world, for God so loved the world. But Jesus is wanting to say, I'm risen, I want you to know. I want you to know. And you might be in the middle of stuff and you say, does God really see me in the midst of this pain and this confusion? Does he really? The message of the resurrection is that he does. Maybe you stuffed it up. Maybe like Peter, you're here today, but you thought, God doesn't want to be close to you. The resurrection is more like Kill Bill than Resurrection Sunday, because you're like, you're here today, but you're like waiting for the lightning bolt, maybe, and you're like, if I come to the table today, maybe there will be some smitering happen, and I might be smiteth. Maybe you've even been told that. Get your act together, and then God will accept you. And we sung this song today, and it's kind of like, what? That Jesus says, come as you are. Let resurrection life fill you, and as you go, transformation will happen. A God who would say, Peter, I know you deny me, but do you love me? And he says, I love you. And he says, I want you to pass on that love to someone else. Feed my sheep. I don't just want it for you and you to know I love you. I want you to know there's a role, there's a purpose still for you. That the God who wants relationship is a God who forgives and he loves. And he runs in a crazy way where he'll leave 99 great sheep and go and find a lost one. This is the crazy love of God. It sounds simple and almost naive, but if you have stuffed it up, you need to know. Go and tell the disciples and put your name in there that I've risen. I want to do something different. I'm finished. But I want to invite the band back up and I want to sing that song again. And you don't have to stand up and sing it. I want them to sing it over you. You can join in if you want, but stay seated. You don't have to stand up. As they come, I just want to say this one more point. Church, at the end of our coming to Jesus today, by the way, if you're here for the first time, come to the table. Come to Jesus. I hope this message is spoken to you from God, that you feel and sense the welcome of Christ, the inclusive welcome of Christ. But I also want to challenge you, like Jesus challenged Peter. He said, Peter, I want you to know, do you love me? And he said, yes, I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. I want to challenge this church as we at the end say the benediction, and as we go, who are the Peters we know who need to hear the news that Jesus is risen? That God's love is reaching out to them. Like we say in our benediction every week, we say, go and reach those who are running from God and God's church. I think Jesus wants to say to us today, like the angel spoke, and he wants to say, go and tell the disciples, and who's that person who's not here today, that he is risen. Don't keep it to yourself. Feed my sheep. Pass it on. Love in my name. Love like death can't hold you back. Who is it? Maybe as we sing today, God will put that person on your heart. And you'll be able to go and say, I just want you to know Jesus is risen. They may look at you weird and go, oh, thanks for that. But I believe God who leaves the 99 will go after the one. And something will happen. A seed will be sown. So why don't we sing this song and listen to it? Then I'm going to ask John to come and invite us to the table. Thanks, guys.
coming after me. Snowball you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Snow all you won't kick down, lie you won't tear.